Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for June 2008. This is issue number 279. If you'd like to write to us at the DX Audio Service, the address is 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. Telephone number is 360-382-1957. Email sales@nrcdxas.org. A subscription to the DX Audio Service for U.S. Canadian members is $28. To Europe and elsewhere, it's $40. Tapes are sent by first-class mail, and you keep your cassettes. To subscribe, make your check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned, or simply log on to our website at www.nrcdxas.org and sign up using our PayPal credit card system. You can also sign up to EDXN and get your DX Audio Service on your computer or iPod player in stereo. A subscription to EDXN is only $15. Just point your browser to http://www.e-dxn.com and subscribe online with our PayPal credit card system, or contact Wayne Heinen at Post Office Box 473-251, Aurora, Colorado 80047 if you want to pay by check. Well, let's toss it down to Dallas, Texas. Here's Bill Hale with a look at the AM Switch.
Thanks again, Fred, and welcome everyone to AM Switch for the DX Audio Service for June 2008. First of all, call letter changes. A new station in Wilton, Minnesota on 820, they've taken the call of WBKK. 850 WNTJ, Johnstown, Pennsylvania, has made the switch to WKGE. 880 WCQV in Moneta, Virginia, their new call is WSLK. Up in Alaska, KSWD in Seward, their new call KSEW. 970 WZQK in Brandon, Mississippi, changed their call to WJFN. On 1050 in Alexander, Louisiana, the XWRFS is now WBNM. A new station in Little Falls, New York on 1120, they're called WKAJ. 1190 WTBZ, Grafton, West Virginia, changed their call to WVUS. They have a CP to move from 1260. 1230, another new station, this one in Smithville, Georgia, their call is WUCN. 1300 WTIR, Cocoa Beach, Florida, change their call to WMEL. And finally this month, 1490 WPRR in Johnstown, PA, their new call WNTJ. Station updates this past month on 920 WMOK Metropolis, Illinois. They've been granted a CP, and they are now on the air for U2, that's nighttime directional only, 1,000 watts during the day and 750 watts at night. 1010 WOLB, Baltimore, Maryland, their construction permit for U1, that's non-directional all hours, 250 watts during the day, 30 watts at night, is now on, and they have a pending application for U1, 1,000 watts during the day and 30 watts at night. 1110 KJSA, Mineral Wells, Texas, they're now on with D3, that's daytime only directional, 20,000 watts, changing to business radio format. 1120 WTWZ, Clinton, Mississippi, a CP is granted for D1, daytime only, non-directional, 10,000 watts during the day and 2,500 watts during critical hours. 1140 KCLE, Cleburne, Texas, they're now on with U4, that's two different patterns day and night, 5,000 watts during the day and 710 watts during darkness. 1200, a new station in Bonaire, Virginia, they've been granted a CP for 50,000 watts daytime, 10,000 watts at night, U4 from six towers, using all six during the day and five at night. Both patterns direct the signal to the southeast, although at slightly different headings. Bonaire is a west suburb of Richmond, so this new station should be well heard down into the southeast of there, into the Norfolk area. 1230 CKDR5 in Red Lake, Ontario, a CP has been granted for them to move to FM, as well as another station up in that area, CKDR4 in Ear Falls, Ontario. They're on 1490. They'll soon be moving to the FM band. 1270 WXGO, Aurora, Indiana, a CP has been granted for D3, 330 watts daytime only using six towers. Plus, they'll be making a change in city of license from Madison. The new coverage area is a slender pattern directed east-northeast. Also on 1270 KRVT Claremore, Oklahoma, a CP for U4, 5,000 watts during the day, 1,000 watts at night is now on. The new day pattern sends a large lobe to the northeast and southwest, along with smaller lobes favoring the southeast and northwest. The night pattern is very much similar to that, only a little smaller. 1340 WJYI, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a CP for a kilowatt, day and night, non-directional is now on, using a folded unipole antenna. 1420 WRCG Columbus, Georgia, they're now on with 5,000 watts during the day, 79 watts at night from a new tower, and that's all non-directional or U1. Also on 1420 CKPT Peterborough, Ontario, they've made the move to 99.3 megahertz, and they call themselves Energy 93.3, so you can delete CKPT from 1420 in your AM logs. And finally, 1460 WZNZ Jacksonville, Florida. They're now on with U2, 15,000 watts during the day and 5,000 at night. That's U2, of course, is directional nighttime only. Well, no grants for new stations this month or cancellations, so I guess we even out in that department. A little bit of news which we don't normally pass along on AM Switch, but I find this kind of interesting. A couple of applications, both from the same station here, KINY, Juneau, Alaska. They've applied for 10,000 watts daytime, 7,600 watts at night. As you may already know, they're 10,000 day and night, but they've got to drop to 7,600 watts because a TV antenna mounted atop but not isolated from the KINY tower was not taken into consideration when computing antenna height, therefore a reduction of these nighttime watts. Then a day after they did this, they asked for an STA, which is a special temporary authority, for 2,500 watts day and night non-directional. We quote from the application, "The electrical grid that serves the town of Juneau, including the KINY transmitter site, is heavily dependent upon hydroelectric power from electric generators located at the Snettisham Dam in Juneau Borough, some 30-odd air miles to the southeast of the built-up town area. On April 16th, snowslides roared out of the mountains some 25 miles southeast of town, uprooted transmission towers, and destroyed 1.5 miles of the high-voltage line, a transmission line that links the community of 30,000 to the hydroelectric plant. As a result, the town is now totally dependent upon energy power from diesel-driven generators. There's a limited stock of diesel fuel on hand, and replenishment supplies must come via barge from refineries a great distance away. In light of this, the Juneau Commission on Sustainability, that's a new one, has asked all residents and businesses to conserve electricity to the maximum extent possible. Also, due to the high cost of operating the emergency power generators and of replenishment supplies of diesel fuel, the cost of electricity is expected to quintuple in the short term. It is estimated that it will take 2 to 3 months to repair the downed high tension lines and to restore normal hydroelectric service to Juneau." So once again, they've applied for 2,500 watts day and night, non-directional. A couple of other applications, CFGT in Elba, Quebec, has applied to move to 97.7 with 50,000 watts ERP. And 1350 KTIK, Nampa, Idaho, has applied for 25,000 watts during the day, 600 watts at night, directional nighttime only. That would give them five times the amount of power in the daytime. Some other news to report off the air: WSLK 880 Modena, Virginia, WOLH 1230 Florence, South Carolina, KWAK Stuttgart, Arkansas on 1240, WHYM 1260 Lake City, South Carolina, WRLM 1480 Irondale, Alabama, WGEN 1500 Geneseo, Illinois, probably permanent, as their tower is being developed, or the tower area, rather, is being developed for retail sales. WMCW 1600, Harvard, Illinois, the result of co-owned and nearby WONX 1590's power upgrade. The WMCW station has an application dating back to 1984 to move to suburban Wausau, Wisconsin on 1180. That's about 300 miles due north of them. And I'm just wondering, does anybody know what MCW and those WMCW calls stands for? I'll give you a couple of minutes to think about it, and then we'll reveal the secret. Back on the air, WCIS 760, Morganton, North Carolina, with a Southern Gospel format, and KBYO 1360, Tallulah, Louisiana, is back on. Some fines to report this month. $7,000 fine to KINO 1230, Winslow, Arizona, for filing their renewal application in an untimely manner. And an $8,000 fine to WBLT 1350, Bedford, Virginia, for unauthorized control of the station. That one's a long story, and I don't have time to read the whole thing from the FCC's website, but if you care to dig in there, WBLT 1350, Bedford, Virginia, and check them out. Well, that's it for this month. Thanks to Sean Axelrod, Wayne Heinen, Dean McIntyre, David Schmidt, Hakan Sundman, Ernie Wesolowski, and MCW. What does that mean? The milk capital of the world. Thanks to all those people for tidbits and updates. I knew I could throw that in somewhere. And of course, I thank you for listening. If you have any items for AM Switch or have any questions about this month's column, please email me at w_r_hale@sbcglobal.net. I look forward to hearing from you. I really do. Coming up next is John Bowker and this month's edition of the Travelogue. John?
National Radio Club.
Well, thanks very much, Bill Hale. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Travelogue section of the DX Audio Service. And today we're going to be taking you to yet another part of the United States, perhaps a part that very few of you have ever had an opportunity to visit. In fact, with all our travels, we've only been there once. Turns out that years ago, there was a television program where some network had taken cameras and gone all the way from one end to the other of U.S. Route 1 along the eastern seaboard. Well, that struck me as a heck of a good idea, one I had to copy. So a year later, we went down to Key West, and that's a fascinating place. But I had never been in the most northern part of the state of Maine. And in 1999, we were moved to go to the city of Halifax, way out in Nova Scotia, and to Prince Edward Island, which is a story in itself. Do you know that the bridge that they've constructed going across to Prince Edward Island, once you're up on the bridge, that on a regular car radio without any super radio antennas of any kind, you get an AM station on every single channel? There are no local stations, and all the stations from New York and Boston and Canada, all over, come in because of the water path that's created as you go across. That's a story for another travelogue, perhaps. But if you ever get a chance, boy, jump at it. What a time we had. But the upshot of that trip out to Canada was that we did go to the very northern part of US 1. And of course, while we were up that way, we had our radios and recorders running. So we picked up darn near every station along the perimeter of the state of Maine. And that's what today's travelogue is all about as we begin the June 2008 DX Audio Service Travelogue.
This is Coastal Maine's home for unforgettable music, AM 1400 WIDE, Biddeford. From ABC News, I'm John Belmont.
Now, it's interesting to me that WIDE was IDing only as Biddeford. In fact, I'm not sure but what the announcer's microphone was cut off, or the recording, whatever. Because I've heard them say Biddeford Sacco, I've heard them say Biddeford Kennebunk. But they're only 13 miles or so south of Portland. We won't do anything in Portland on this trip. We'll save that for somebody to do a market scope on Portland, Maine. How's that? And so we're starting at the south end of Maine's Atlantic coast, south of Portland, and we're going to come up now to an immediate suburb. Westbrook is like 4 miles from downtown Portland.
Thank you for the call. We're going to take a timeout. We'll come back. Michael Golnick with The Flash coming up next. My name's Steve Heiter.
One on one.
WGNS
WJAE Westbrook, Portland. WJJB Brunswick.
WJAB 1440.
Rudy T gets the former Terrapin. Hello, everybody. I'm Michael Gomick, and here's what's happening.
Okay, now wait a minute. I don't care how many times you play that jingle back. It comes out WJAB every time. 1999 that was recorded, right? And WJAB was in Huntsville, Alabama. As a matter of fact, I think it's an FM station, if I'm not mistaken. Now, it's pretty clear that WJAE is at 1440 in Brunswick, Maine. And WJJB is at 900 on the dial in Brunswick, which is a goodly sized city, by the way, and right there on the coastline of Maine. But that all brings us yet to another little town along the coastline, probably with the most jokes made about it of any city in the state of Maine. Wouldn't be surprised. It's the town of Bath. And by the way, will any of us ever forget the charm, the wit, and the intelligence of the owner of this station you're about to hear? Bob Bittner. He spoke to us at the convention in New Hampshire we had, about 15 years ago?
It may be the truth, but it may be a lie, but it sounds like the sound of
goodbye. This is 7:30 WJTO, Bath, Brunswick, and Midcoast, Maine.
And I'm pretty sure everyone who attended that convention in New Hampshire that Bruce Conti arranged enjoyed Bob Bittner very much. Just a terrific guy, no question. Well, we come up the coastline a little further to the city of Rockland, Maine. And this is kind of an interesting ID jingle package, I'd say.
Have you been around and seen this town? Do you know it like you should? It's the city where we live and work and play.
It's 12:59 at WRKD Rockland. I'm Harry Beadle. The White House and Senate Republicans are still at war over the nuclear test ban treaty.
We leave some of these news clips in just to remind us of things that went on as recently as 1999. You know, that's only, 9 years ago, for goodness sakes. But our job today is to follow U.S. Route 1 as it goes along the coast of Maine, and the next city we come to is Ellsworth.
Yeah, we're out of here. Do a little leaf peeping down on MDI today. Should be nice. Maybe go up on Cadillac, huh? Be nice. Well, that wraps up our show for this, the 12th of October, mid-month almost. Thanks for being here. Rick Foster with you. 20 and a half hours. We'll see you again, 5:30 tomorrow morning. We'll set the alarm. You bring the coffee. We'll see you. AM 1370, WDEA Ellsworth, the Cumulus Station. The time is 9 o'clock.
CBS News, this is Frank Setapani. The district attorney in Boulder, Colorado, is dropping hints that he may be close to making some sort of announcement in the JonBenet Ramsey murder case.
Lest we forget, huh? Well, now, U.S. Route 1, north of Ellsworth, does a funny thing. It turns to the northwest. In fact, it leaves the Atlantic coastline. It has to. It goes through the city of Machias. Now, we'll come back to Machias in a minute, at least on radio we will. And it turns around, the largest whirlpool in the northern hemisphere. It has to swing out to the west to avoid that. And it also has a little right turn indicator for Campobello. And I wonder how many of us remembered that President Franklin Roosevelt, when he took a summer vacation, took it at Campobello Island, which is in Canada, of all things. Oh, well. Here's the next town of interest to us on the radio dial, Calais, Maine.
WQDY, Calais, Maine, St. Stephen, New Brunswick, 1230 AM, 92.7 FM, and WALZ, Machias, Maine, 95.3 FM.
From ABC News. I'm John Belmont.
Very good, John. Glad to hear a familiar voice in this relatively unfamiliar part of the world for us. But let's see, we're passing through Houlton, Maine. That's where the Interstate 95 highway begins in the United States at the north end. And here we come to the city of Presque Isle, Maine.
At the end of the month, when you hear this, what do you plan to do?
In Ashland, Garfield, and Masardis, they're listening to WEGP 1390 AM Presque Isle and WREM 710 AM Monticello.
And this brings us to the most northerly station on U.S. Route 1 in the United States, in Caribou, Maine. Oh, hey, one thing, listen closely. You know, the border we're going up is the border between the United States and Canada, between Maine and New Brunswick. But it's another border, too. Hear what he says.
Family News and Focus up next and is heard Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Sundays at 12 noon right here on WFST. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock Atlantic Time, WFST Caribou.
The National Religious Freedom Act of 1999 was passed in part to help Congress understand the extent to which religious persecution is a problem around the world.
Well, frankly, that accomplishes what we set out to do today, but since we have another minute or two left, I'm sure Fred won't mind if we start coming back down from the most northerly point, but inland through the middle of the state of Maine. The city of Rumford comes to mind, and you'll see why in a minute.
This is EWTN, Global Catholic Radio.
WLLBAM 790 in Rumford, Maine. What a great that is, huh?
Well, that's a fine idea, I'm sure, but in 1983, Linda and I had occasion to be in Rumford, Maine, and we recorded WRUM, the predecessor to the ID you just heard. And Linda said, you know, that announcer on that station, he'd make a fine English butler, but a radio announcer, he ain't. Well, I'm not sure I completely agree, but I hear what she means. See what you think of this announcer coming up here.
This is WRUM 1000 watts of Good Neighbor Power in Rumford, Maine.
WRUM. Up to the minute.
Well, kind of hard to tell, isn't it, based on 5 seconds or less. But we had listened to him for about like a half hour, and I think maybe she was right. Hey, our time is up. We'll see you next month. Here's Mark Durenberger.
Thank you, John. We're back with part 3 of our Lake Wobegon band scan recorded last summer. I think we're at 910 on the dial now, and we're going to work our way all the way up to the X-band in this multi-part series with recordings made mostly during the day from an array of radios sitting out on our deck. We had the advantage of one or two Kiwa loops to help things along, but that was about it. It's a pretty good example of daytime ground wave coverage when there's no electrical interference present. I think I said we were at 910. There are close to 50 U.S. stations on that regional, KJJQ the nearest, from tiny Volga, North Dakota, northwest of Fargo. With 500 watts, 2 towers day and 3 at night, they're about 150 miles away, and their coverage is shaped north-northeast and south-southwest day, with the signal tucked in a bit at night to protect stations to the south.
Tune in, we'll agree it's the best money show on the radio. The Radio Theater Show, weekdays from 11 to noon, right here on Radio 910.
Thanks for listening. This is Radio 910, KJJQ, all good looking.
From ABC News, I'm Joan Bell.
Minnesota has two decent stations on 920, one of them an eight-tower system well south of us in Faribault, a signal that's been crafted for best coverage toward Minneapolis. But closer to us is Wadena, Minnesota, at 50 miles, the city of license for Heritage Station KWAD. Non-directional, 1,000 watts day, with a two-tower nighttime pattern pushing the signal north.
They've got fireworks in Monaga, and at Lawrence Lake, near Outing, fireworks will be seen again tonight as we make our way through this 4th of July week. It's 9 o'clock. You're listening to 92 KWAD Wadena, 1430 KNSB Staples. News is next from ABC.
From ABC News, I'm Linda Albin, live from London's Wembley Stadium.
At about 60 miles, we find KKIN, Aitkin, Minnesota. This 930 station, non-directional day and night, 2,500 watts daytime, and 360 watts after sunset.
KKIN, 930 Music of Your Life. Aiken, Ironton, Malmo. AP Radio News. I'm Brian Thomas.
This next one on Canadian-Mexican Clear 940 was a pretty good catch. Shell Lake, Wisconsin is 125 miles away, but here's WCSW, a non-directional, daytime only, with 1,000 watts.
Slow down. Prepare to follow the directions of other signs or of work zone workers. Each work zone sign has a message, and an important one. Get the picture. Listen to the signs.
Call the Wisconsin Department of Transportation and ask me, Council 40.
You're listening to Howie Carr on AM 940, WCSW, Shell Lake, the talk station.
Live from New York, the Fox Report with Shepard Smith.
Breaking today, 20 mortars screaming into the Baghdad Green Zone. At least three people killed, including one member of the U.S. military.
On we go to 950 and the Twin Cities 1 kilowatter. As you've heard in John Bowker's travelogue, it's one of those stations changing call letters like many of us change underwear. At the time of recording, they were KTNF, 1,000 watts full-time, two towers day for a signal sent north-northeast, and three towers at night to protect stations to the northwest and southeast.
So pick up your copy of Lavender Magazine today. This is Tom Hurst. You're listening to AM 950 KTNF, St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul, a progressive station that's threatening the Republican way of life.
CNN Radio, I'm Harry Beasley. Three people are dead, 18 wounded, following an insurgent mortar attack on Baghdad's Green Zone.
There's a nearby station on 960 KLTF in Little Falls. For a long, long time, they've been on the air with 5,000 watts non-directional. Now they have 38 watts nighttime authority as well.
And August live cattle up 195 and August lean hogs now down 40 with October down 22. Have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us on the Linder Farm Network.
This is your home for the Linder Farm Network and the Midday Farm Review. It's also your home for Flyer Sports, AM 960, KLTF, Little Falls.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lori London. Scorching in the southwest.
Drinking lots of water. Water and air conditioning.
970 brings us to the next of our Fargo catches. Fargo itself is about 125 miles away, and WDAY has been on the airs for a long, long time. 5,000 watts day, non-directional. And at night, three towers push the signal to the northwest.
A lot can happen overnight.
That's why we wake up before you do.
I'm Paul and she's Tracy.
Daryl Richardson joins us from the WDAY Storm Tracker Weather Center.
And Mike Tanner's in the newsroom. We're the WDAY information team.
Everything you need to know to start your busy day. First thing every weekday here.
On AM 970 WDAY Fargo Moorhead, USA.
From ABC News, Charles Gibson. Once again, President Bush is asking lawmakers for more time in Iraq.
980 is another of the many regional channels we're able to hear in Lake Wobegon. Minneapolis is home to the nearest of such operations. KKMS is 5,000 watts, four towers, same pattern, day and night, pretty much due north.
Overnight tonight, a low near 69 degrees with clear skies. For the weekend, hot and sunny with a high near 96. For tomorrow, with a low near 76. Chance of rain on Sunday with a high near 92. Coming up next is the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, here on KKMS.
Spread the word. AM
AM 980 KKMS, Richfield, Minneapolis, St. Paul, a service of Salem Communications. More spirited talk radio.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Democrats are still livid over President Bush's commutation of Lewis Scooter Libby's prison term.
On the 990 Canadian Clear Channel, we had to reach 300 miles to hear Winnipeg, the signal from CBC Canada. CBW is a 50-kilowatt non-directional, what Bill Hale would call a U1.
Well, it's 3:55 here on CBC Radio 1, completely Winnipeg on 89.3 FM, also on 990 AM. And Murray Parker joins me now from CBC TV News at 6. Hi, Murray.
Hi, Damien. Busy day today.
Yeah, as you say, you've undoubtedly got one eye on one TV screen, another one on a radar, and some on some pictures, I guess.
Need an extra eye, as a matter of fact. First of all, the tornado watch that has ended, the Swan River Duck Mountain.
In all the states west of Chicago, there are only four strong stations on 1,000, the shared U.S.-Mexican clear. The best signal we could find was also the nearest, at about 190 miles, KXRB in Sioux Falls, operating two directional patterns. Daytime from two towers with 10 kilowatts. It's pushed west, northwest, well away from us. And at night, it's only 100 watts, slightly more to the west-southwest. This, of course, another daytime catch.
And girlfriend of Blake Shelton, Miranda Lambert, famous in a small town.
You're listening to KXRB, Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
The only one on my radio. I love this station.
Results Radio,
a Cumulus station.
That small plane crash in Sanford, Florida, near Orlando. Fire Chief Jerry Ranson says the plane hit two houses, killing two on the plane and three on the ground.
We heard nothing on Canadian-Cuban Clear Channel 1010 during the day. There is, however, a construction permit for a low-power station in nearby Sauk Rapids, Minnesota, and we'll watch for that one. U.S. Clear 1020 has a good number of stations daytime in the west and some low-power nighttime activity in the south. Another of the former 1As, once owned by KDKA, now shared with, among others, the Fergus Falls, Minnesota signal of KJJK. 80 miles away and non-directional day, 2,000 watts, while at night they throttle back to 300 watts and use two towers to protect Pittsburgh.
Playing the greatest hits of all time. Groovy 1020, KJJK, AM, Fergus Falls, Minnesota.
And it's crashed into a neighborhood in an Orlando suburb, starting two houses on fire, five dead.
Like 1020, 1030 is also a duplicated 1A. Now there are some 25 stations on WBZ's frequency. East of the Twin Cities, at about 130 miles, we find the seven-tower antenna farm of WCTS. Two towers use daytime, 50,000 watts, and at night, five towers send a 1,000-watt signal to the north-northwest.
AM 1030, WCTS, Maplewood, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Major General Rick Lynch, the commander of U.S. forces south of Baghdad, says despite the political pressure coming from Washington, pulling the surge troops out of Iraq would be a bad idea.
And of course, around here, 1A-1040 is reserved for WHO Des Moines. 50,000 watts non-directional.
This is Des Moines News Station.
I listen to WHO because I moved from California, and I've been listening ever since.
Des Moines News Radio 1040, WHO. 1040, WHO Radio.
You're with 1040, WHO Des Moines, the home and away voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Now to Mexican Clear 1050. KLOH at Pipestone, 155 miles distant, operates 9,300 watts day in a classic pattern that develops two nulls to the east and southeast, and at night, KLOH almost reverses the pattern, sending 430 watts to the northwest and southeast.
KLOH 1050, Pipestone.
He says leaving Iraq too soon would leave the country a mess.
I'm Richard Cantu. More members of Congress may say it's time for Iraqi troops to take over the war.
No copy on the U.S.-Mexican Clear Channel 1060, just noise. The nearest station is in Preston, Minnesota, 190 miles away. A little bit too much for their 1,000 watts and a not-too-efficient antenna. 1070 has almost become a graveyard channel in the Midwest and Eastern states. It's a shared U.S.-Canadian clear. There was once in our area KMOM in Monticello, Minnesota. That went dark a few years ago and was resurrected recently as KVKK Verndale, about 50 miles north of us. KVKK operates 10,000 watts, single tower, day, and with 5,000 watts from four towers at night, sending the signal directly northwest.
North Central Minnesota's most powerful AM, AM 1070, KVKK Verndale, and all of Minnesota.
AP Radio News.
I'm Brian Thomas. Tomorrow, Bilal Abdullah, one of the men inside the Jeep Cherokee that crashed and burned at the Glasgow Airport last week, will be formed.
There's little daytime traffic on U.S. Clear 1080 in the upper Midwest. We find non-directional station KYMN licensed to Northfield, Minnesota, at about 115 miles. 1,000 watts day, a whopping 11 watts at night.
KYMN AM 1080 Northfield.
Punto backs with a count of no balls and one strike. Cirillo trying to bunt on Burley and more or less fields the third baseman. Punto tries it. There's a slow curve drops in there. So Punto's in the hole, no balls and two strikes.
We reach all the way to Wisconsin for a signal on the U.S.-Mexican Clear 1090. This is the station in Rice Lake from which we've never been able to get a legal ID, you may recall from previous band scans. WAQE is a daytimer, daytime only, non-directional, 5,000 watts, and they're 140 miles away.
Only one station plays the biggest country songs of all time. Classic Country, AM 1090.
Not surprisingly, there are no nearby assignments on 1A1100, though a duplicated operation is in the works. A 50-kilowatt day, 440-watt night construction permit has been granted for Dilworth near Fargo, North Dakota. That'll take care of WTAM over about 10 states. 1110 Omaha comes up here on a good day, but this wasn't one of them. That's surprising, too. We usually find no problem with KFAB. And 1120 St. Louis, just too far away for daytime reception. And that puts the lid on, part three of our Clear Channel band scan from the mythical Lake Wobegon, where we have a lake cabin up there in central Minnesota, roughly in the middle of the area described by Garrison Keillor in Prairie Home Companion. It's an area where the electrical noise level can be kept way down. Power lines are buried, and we have the luxury of tuning out any electrical interference by turning off the circuit breakers until we get it down to where all that's left is the AM band thermal noise. So Groundwave has been pretty good, as you've heard. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service, thank you for your patience and staying with us. We have a long way to go, and we'll keep moving on it next month. Until we tune in again at this same spot on the magazine, good listening, DXers.
Thanks, Mark. On the EDXN website, Bruce Conti posted a list to coincide with the 75th anniversary of the National Radio Club. This listing is of all the radio stations which were on the air in 1933. So let's read down a few of them. We can't do the entire list, but let's check out a few frequencies, and you tell me if these are the same or if we're missing some stations. You ready? Here goes. In 1933 on 700, WLW in Cincinnati. On 710, KMPC in Beverly Hills, California. WOR in Newark, New Jersey. And XEN in Mexico City, Mexico. On 720, WGN in Chicago. 730, CJCA in Oliver, Alberta. CKAC in Montreal, Quebec. And CMK in Havana, Cuba. On 735, XCR in Mexico. On 740, KMMJ in Clay Center, Nebraska. WHEB in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And WSB in Atlanta, Georgia. On 750, KGU in Honolulu, Hawaii, and WJR in Detroit, Michigan. On 757, XEFD in Mexico. on 760, KXA in Seattle, Washington, WEW in St. Louis, Missouri, WJZ in New York City, and XEYZ in Mexico City. On 770, KFAB in Lincoln, Nebraska, and WBBM in Chicago. And finally, on 780, CHWK in Chilliwack, British Columbia, CKPR in Port Arthur, Ontario, CMCQ in Havana, Cuba, KELW in Burbank, California, KTM in Los Angeles, California, WEAN in Providence, Rhode Island, WMC in Memphis, Tennessee, WTAR in Norfolk, Virginia, and XEP in Mexico City, Mexico. Well, how did the band change? By the way, we've heard from several members who are asking if there's going to be a dues increase. Now, this was due to the United States Post Office's recent increase in postage last month. Well, the answer is no. And as long as we can keep our costs and expenses under control, I don't see any reason to increase the dues. However, you can help in several ways. Since we have a few new members and a few old members renewing, it's time to get the film out of the closet, put it up on the projector, and tell you all about our policies. Dues typically run 12 months, $28 for U.S. and Canadian members, $40 elsewhere. This is for the cassette version only. If you want to get it off the internet, it's only $15 from the Publication Center. If you're taking the cassette version and you're tight on money, you can take 6 months at $14 or 3 months at $7. Otherwise, tapes are $4 for each month. You can pay ahead if you had a good night at the poker tables. All kidding aside, if you want to guarantee that a postage increase won't affect you in the future, you can pay as much as a couple years in advance at the $28 rate just to lock it in. This offer does not apply to the website, nor is it transferable. And by the way, we have several members who have me locked in until August of 2012. If you ever get a damaged tape, send it back. It will be replaced at no charge. If you want it to be replaced without sending it back, there is a charge. Also, if you don't get a tape, the first thing to do is determine if you are a member. If your subscription ended and you didn't renew, that's a good reason why you're not getting a tape. But if you are sure that you are a member, contact me by letter stating that you did not get a tape and we'll take care of it. Please note that in both the replacement and lost tape issues, if this happens more than once, I'll probably ask you to make some other arrangements for getting tapes to you, which could include a different address or buying a special hard case mailer. The point is, the club can't keep sending out tapes to members if there's a prolonged history of damage or non-delivery. Some people ask, why let you know by letter? Well, first of all, any lost parcels are reported to the post office's loss prevention department. Secondly, I'm not always around to take calls due to my job and volunteer work in the community. A card or letter is the best way of contacting me. However, if you want to pick up a phone call can be placed to area code 360-382-1957. That's 360-382-1957. This is the only number that members should use. Please do not call any of the 419 area code numbers. If you do call and leave a message, please say who you are, what you're calling about, and leave a number to call back. Please speak slowly when you leave your number. If I've not returned your call, it's probably due to one of these reasons. 1, I don't know who you are. 2, I can't understand your message or why you're calling. 3, I can't understand or copy down the phone number because it was said too fast. Or because it's of an issue such as, hey, my tape doesn't sound right. What do I do? Also, please be patient in getting a call back. If I'm out of town, I can't return the call until I get home. Also, I don't do email because I found it to be very unproductive. The club's email address is sales@nrcdxas.org, but this does not come to me. It's a long story why I don't do email, and if you'd like to know, well, I'll be happy to tell you, but basically it comes down to being productive with my time. If you are on the EDXN forum, you can always send a PM or an email to me from that service because I know who it's coming from. But please, please put down your phone number in the message if you expect a reply. We, the National Radio Club, are a member-supported organization. While your dues pay for your publications, we hope you would support the club and its editors. Doing so makes the club stronger and it makes the publications more interesting. I've always maintained that there is not a member of the club that does not have something interesting to invest in the magazine. Be it a tip for Bill or a market scope for Phil or some sports information for Ken or just a story for everyone to enjoy, it's what makes the DX Audio Service enjoyable for everyone. Finally, on dues, make all checks payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated. Get your renewal in at least 30 days prior to your subscription ending. Remember that your label always contains the date of the last issue of your DX Audio Service. And when you send a payment to me, I'll send you back a green card as a receipt of your payment. And now you know the rest of the story.
Since April of 1985, this is the DX Audio Service, a nonprofit organization devoted to the radio listening hobby.
And we got lots more planned, and there's nothing you can do about it!
WFIL-FM, Upper Sandusky.
On side two of the cassette, we have Phil Wayne with a look at the market scope. We have musings from the members as we hear from you. And we'll have some information on the 2008 National Radio Club Convention, which is going to be held in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania over Labor Day weekend. But right now, let's flip over to side two.